بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah the Almighty to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O children of Adam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah azza wa jal make us all from the people of taqwa and may He make us all from the successful ones. Ameen. O slaves of Allah, prepare yourselves to immerse yourselves in various types of ibadah because the amazing 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is about to begin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and help us to make the best use of this coming 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah azza wa jal, He created time and He gave virtue, He attached superiority to some periods of time over others. As Allah azza wa jal states in the noble Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, that your Lord, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, He creates what He wills, what He wishes, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, and then He attaches virtue, He attaches superiority as He wishes, Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of time and then attached superiority to some periods over other periods. If we talk about the best of months, the month of Ramadan is the best of months. Allahu Akbar. These 10 days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best of days. Even in comparison to the days of Ramadan, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, according to some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are even better than the days of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. But then when you talk about the nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the best nights ever. Why? Because those nights contain Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the night of decree. The night which is better, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr, the night which is better than 1,000 months. So when you talk about nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the best of nights. When you talk about days, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the best of days. And scholars go on to explain the reason, or one of the reasons behind why the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is given so much of virtue and superiority. The reason being, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is because major fundamentals of ibadah are encompassed in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, such as salah, prayer, siyam, fasting, zakah. Zakah is also, you can give out your zakah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And then you have a major ibadah, hajj, which is also fulfilled in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. When you talk about Ramadan, when you talk about the last 10 days of Ramadan perhaps, why the superiority when you compare the first 10 days and the last 10 days, why more superiority is given to the first 10 days is because In Ramadan, you can give out your zakah, you can pray, you can fast, but can you fulfill Hajj? You can't fulfill Hajj in Ramadan. You can't fulfill Hajj in Ramadan. And that is why the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are given so much of virtue and so much of superiority. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, that there are no deeds more beloved unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the deeds that have been fulfilled in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allahu Akbar. Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, even jihad? Even jihad? What about jihad? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, not even jihad, Allahu Akbar. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days, tomorrow begins, or with the sunset of today, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah begin, Allahu Akbar. Let us seize this opportunity, amazing opportunity. Allah, because of His infinite mercy upon all of us, He gives us seasons to do more good deeds and acquire great rewards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, not even jihad, except for an individual who goes out on jihad himself with all of his wealth. With all of his wealth. He takes all of his wealth and then he does not come back with anything. I.e. he expends all of his wealth and he is also martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us use the coming 10 days to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us use these 10 days to involve ourselves in various type of ibadat, various acts of worship rendered unto our powerful maker. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do so. Let us keep ourselves busy in salah. Let us start off by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Tawbah is not restricted to a specific season or perhaps for Ramadan alone or the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Nay, tawbah is something that we have to fulfill on a daily basis because we are perpetual sinners, you and I. We need to keep on turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is not something reserved for the sinners alone. No, the command came to the believers. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ O believers, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Are the believers sinners? No. But if we consider ourselves believers, that we are brought in iman, then we have to make tawbah part and parcel of our day-to-day lives. But then there's no harm in using a particular season, such as Dhul Hijjah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to turn to Him in tawbah. We turn to Him in tawbah, sincerely, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. And then we establish the link between ourselves and our Creator. As-salah. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا At times we have youngsters. At times we have individuals, activists, very much socially involved. They do a lot for society. Perhaps they are very strongly involved in da'wah. But when it comes to their own reformation, when it comes to their own personal deeds, at times there is a deficiency, there is a weakness. When it comes to salah, they don't offer their salah on time. If they can make it to the masjid with the jama'ah, with the congregation, they must. It is an obligation upon us, males. We have to pray salah with the jama'ah. So let us start off by making our salawat, our five times prayers, on time. On time. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Salah has been prescribed upon us at appointed times. So let us fulfill the salah. Because after all, the difference between a believer and a disbeliever is salah. Is that worship which is rendered unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, let us perfect this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This divine link with Allah azza wa jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. And then let us involve ourselves in more recitation of the noble Quran. Perhaps the month of Ramadan we spent with the Quran. Maybe there were from us individuals who finished a few recitations of the complete Quran. But then right after the month of Ramadan, we go keep the Quran in the shelf, perhaps at home. And then we forget about the Quran. Let us sincerely intend. Let me at least recite three ajza, three juz per day, resulting in me completing the whole Quran within the 10 days. Allahu Akbar. The reward is multiplied manifold because these are special days, virtuous days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. Let us involve ourselves. Let us build a beautiful relationship with the Quran, with the words of our beloved Maker. With the words of our beloved Maker. Let us not read the Quran just as how a parrot does. Let us just not pay lip service to the Quran. Let us read the Quran trying to understand the Quran. Let us ponder on the words of our beloved Maker. Let us go sit by the scholars. Let us study about the Quran. Let us attend perhaps tafsir discourses. Let us try to learn more about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, His creation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. And then, let us make dhikr. Let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Maker, our powerful Maker. Allah azza wa jal states in the noble Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, udhkurullah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dhikran kathira, abundantly. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. We must remember Allah Azza wa Jal during every single walk of our lives. Let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are numerous reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regard to the virtue of dhikr. Allahu Akbar. Numerous reports. One narration Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, that he asked the Sahaba, O my Sahaba, shall I not inform you all of a deed that is the best of all deeds? The best of all deeds. It is even better than your being in the battlefield and smiting the necks of the kuffar and your necks being struck in the battlefield. Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that deed, Ya Rasulullah? The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more we remember Allah azza wa jal, our hearts become soft. Our hearts become supple. Our hearts turn to Allah. Our hearts are filled with taqwa. That consciousness comes into our hearts. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives. Whether we be in private or whether we be in public. Whether we be amongst friends or whether we be amongst strangers. The more we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the minute we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we don't even feel ashamed to commit any type of sin, any obscenity, any vulgar crime, sin. We don't feel ashamed because we have lost that sense that my powerful Maker is watching me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to turn to Him before it's too late. And in regard to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, there is a special type of dhikr. And this is known as takbir. Takbir. Where we should try and recite as much as possible in terms of takbir throughout the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and the days of Tashriq, Ayyamut Tashriq. In general, without specifying any time or any occasion, as much as possible, we must try to recite the takbir. Whether we be walking down the streets, whether we be in the market, whether we be in the masjid, whether we be at home, we recite as much as possible the takbir, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in terms of the takbir, we have two types of takbir. At-takbir al-mutlaq and at-takbir al-muqayyad. At-takbir al-mutlaq and at-takbir al-muqayyad. At-takbir al-mutlaq is a general takbir. From the Maghrib, from the setting of the sun today, we start off general. We don't specify a time or a place. As much as possible, we make takbir. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we are at home, even if we are in the office, we are in the vehicle perhaps driving, we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mutlaq means a general takbir. There is no specific time or place. A takbir al-mutlaq. We must recite as much as possible. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, Umar radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, many reports where they used to make excessive takbir. where they used to make excessive takbir, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So we must make takbir as much as possible. In terms of a takbir al-muqayyad, this is a specific type of takbir. And when does this start? This starts with the fajr of the day of Arafah. Right after Fajr, on the day of Arafah, until the last day of the Ayyamut Tashriq. And this is after every Salah. This is after every Salah. The Fajr of the day of Arafah, until the last day of the Ayyamut Tashriq, that is the 13th. The 13th of Dhul Hijjah, we make takbir after every Salah. This is a takbirul muqayyad. This is a specific type of takbir. Therefore, let us glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us praise Him Azza wa Jal, thereby glorifying and remembering Him and attaining great rewards in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One particular report, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said along the lines of these words, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that if an individual fulfills his Salatul Fajr in the masjid with the jama'ah, with the congregation, and then after Salatul Fajr, if he sits in his musalla, in the place where he offered Salatul Fajr, and he waits, he glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he recites the Quran perhaps, he involves himself in various acts of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until tulu, until the sun rises. You know what is his reward? Allahu Akbar. He gets the reward of a hajj and an umrah. Tammah, tammah, tammah. Allahu Akbar. A complete hajj and umrah. Today you know how difficult it is perhaps to fulfill hajj. But you're getting the reward equivalent. An equivalent reward. Now let us not be smart Alex and say, oh, if that's the case, then I don't need to go on hajj. I don't need to go on hajj. I can just sit after fajr and fulfill my hajj. It doesn't work that way. You get the reward which is equivalent, but the obligation doesn't fall off your shoulders. Hajj is a different thing. But then you get the reward. And compare it, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. How difficult it is. You must spend money. You must go out on Hajj. And then you get the reward. But here, our deen is so beautiful. Our maker is so merciful. He has made things so easy for us. Right after Fajr, you sit in the place where you offered Salatul Fajr, make dhikr, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the sun rises, and you get the reward of a hajj and an umrah. Allahu Akbar. And then just imagine, if you were to do that in these special 10 days, the rewards are multiplied manifold. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do more good deeds in these special 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Let us do more takbir. Let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we remember Allah azza wa jal, the more our hearts will turn to Him. The more our hearts will become soft and supple. And the more our hearts will be inclined towards goodness. Today, the ummah at large, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including myself, illa man rahim Allah, except upon those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala special mercy is upon, our hearts have hardened. Our hearts have hardened. What are the symptoms of a hard heart? If you feel that you do not enjoy the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you open the Quran, if you feel sleepy, if you start yawning, if you feel lazy, when you tie takbir, if you feel like quickly finishing off your salah, when you listen to the Quran, when you listen to the words of our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and please remember salawat whenever I mention his beautiful name, if tears don't come to your eyes, that means your heart is dying. Your heart is riddled with diseases. And I'm not talking about your physical heart. And I'm not talking about cardiovascular diseases. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. And I'm talking about spiritual diseases. Spiritual maladies such as jealousy, hatred, envy, anger, malice. Where we start backbiting about others. We waste time instead of remembering Allah. Instead of reading the Quran. Instead of offering voluntary prayers. We waste our time thinking bad about others, talking bad about others, gossiping about others, backbiting about others, looking at people in a condescending manner, having that self-righteous attitude. All of which is against the sunnah of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the perfect role model that we need to be following. Today we have got various other role models and we falsely claim that I love my messenger. I love my messenger. We do various things out of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the main manifestation of the love that we can prove is by following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his teachings. Look at his example. Such a pure example. He never harbored any ill feeling towards anybody. Allahu Akbar. Look at the incident of the Fath of Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. I hope I'm not drifting, but there's something important I wish to touch. After all of the problems and the calamities and the trials, the Quraysh of Makkah put our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through. After the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into Makkah. He could have done whatever he wished with them. They were in fear, but then they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a noble person. He was a noble man. And you know what he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day, on that important day? اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, go, you all are free. You all are free. Look at the magnanimity. Look at the great-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went on to say, I tell you all, what Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam told his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There shall be no reproach on you all on this day, no retribution upon you all on this day. Allahu Akbar. What made the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam go and dump him in the well? What made them go and dump him in the well? Jealousy. Jealousy is such an evil quality. At times it's lurking in our hearts and we don't know. You can diagnose yourself. You don't need a special heart physician to tell you that, oh brother, you are riddled with the disease of jealousy. If you feel when you look at somebody, at someone's property, at someone's family, at someone's house, and if you are envious of him, if you feel jealousy towards him, jealousy is such a self-destructive quality that it will make you feel happy only when misfortune falls on that individual. If say that individual's motor vehicle were to crash somewhere, then you're happy. If that individual's business were to go on a loss, then you are happy. This is a jealous individual. Such an evil individual. Such an evil quality that Allah Azza wa Jal sent down verses for us to protect ourselves from that evil quality. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ مِنْ شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. You seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the envier when he envies. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from that evil quality of jealousy. And may He azza wa jal purify our hearts from that evil quality so that we do not harbor jealousy towards anyone. Ameen. Moving on, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a great ibadah that should be fulfilled within the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, within that is, or during the days of Dhul Hijjah, is udhiyah. It is offering a sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah azza wa jal. It is a great ibadah. It is an ibadah that was done by our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also by the great prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And we do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to also remember what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did. And we do it in accordance to the words of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A great deed indeed. So many rewards. A great deed. And the scholars rahimahumullah, they state that it is a... There's a difference of opinion. But then what they say, the more favorable opinion is that it is a sunnah mu'akkada. It is an emphasized sunnah of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is an emphasized sunnah. So the individual who wishes to offer a sacrifice, an udhiyya, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, Let the one who wishes to offer a sacrifice, let him not take anything from his hair or from his nails. I.e., let him not cut his hair or trim his nails. Let him not cut his hair or trim his nails. Hair in general. Let him not cut his hair or trim his nails. Therefore, the individual who wishes to offer a sacrifice from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, beginning from the setting of the sun of the last day of Dhul-Qa'dah, he must not take anything from his hair or his nails until he offers the sacrifice, al-udhiyah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a command by our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we must strictly adhere to. And the reason, scholars rahimahumullah, they explain, the hujjaj, the pilgrims, this is also applicable upon them. Why? Because they are in ihram. And we who are not hujjaj, we are non-pilgrims, we are supposed to get into that mood by not cutting our hair and trimming our nails so that we share with them in terms of the reward, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us all. So what if an individual accidentally cuts his hair or trims his nail? Or for that matter, what if an individual intentionally cuts his hair or trims his nails? Does that mean his udhiyya is batil? Does that mean that it is nullified? No, it is not nullified, it is valid. But you have to remember, you are going against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but yet your udhiyya is valid. Your udhiyya is valid, but you have gone against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is something scary and that we must stay away from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. So we said that it is a sunnah mu'akkada. So is it befitting an individual, or is it appropriate for him to perhaps obtain a loan to give out an udhiyya? Is it appropriate for an individual to obtain a loan to give out udhiyya? The scholars rahimahumullah, they explain that as it is a sunnah mu'akkada, there is no need for an individual to obtain a loan and give out udhiyya. There is no need, because this is upon an individual who has surplus wealth. He has surplus wealth, then he should give out udhiyya, because it is a sunnah mu'akkada. And emphasize, sunnah, it is not fard upon you. But then again, if you feel that I can obtain a loan and settle off the loan, if you are very confident of that, then there is no harm in you obtaining a loan and giving out your udhiyya. But is it a must? It is not a must. If you feel that you have too much of expenses and you don't have the sufficient funds to cover your expenses, and then again if you take it upon yourself to obtain a loan, but then again you find it difficult, then you are not required to obtain a loan and give out udhiyya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a clear understanding. Now, in regard to what if an individual has more than one family, i.e. if he has two wives, three wives, or four wives for that matter. Now, does he have to give out, if he has two wives, does he have to give out two udhiyya for both of the families? If he has three families, does he have to give out three udhiyya? If he has four families, does he have to give out four udhiyya? If you look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had nine families. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the nine families lived separately, i.e. they didn't live in one big mansion. Small houses, the size of a room perhaps, but they were all separate. The cooking was separate, everything was separate. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and he was the best role model, he gave out only one udhiyya for all of them. He did not give out for each family, for each wife. No. He just gave out one udhiyya for all of his families. Likewise, if we have more than one family, even if they are in separate countries, it does not matter. They are under you. They are dependent on you in terms of food and clothing. If you give out one udhiyya, it would suffice for all of the families under you, in the sense, if you have more than one wife. Now what about where we have more than one family living in one house? Say, for example, you give your daughter in marriage and she's also living with you. Say, your son-in-law is in the same house with you. Now, Or you give out two daughters in marriage and both of the son-in-laws, both of your daughters, they're running their families in the same house. Now, if the breadwinner or the father-in-law perhaps, if he gives out an udhiyah, will it suffice for the whole house, for all of the families? Here the scholars, rahimahumullah, they explain, say for example, if you have three stories, a three-floor building, yeah? And then each family is in one floor, their cooking is separate, everything is separate. Or even if you are living in one big house and the cooking and everything is just one, it doesn't matter. If your son-in-law has a separate income where he is running his family, at times we see very rich people, they run around, they have got expensive motor vehicles, but they all live in one house. Their income is separate. The father-in-law's income is separate. Each son-in-law is earning separately. He's got a job perhaps, he's got his own business. His family is separate, his family unit is separate, even though he may be living in the same house. Then each breadwinner has to give his own udhiyah. Just because the father-in-law gives, that will not suffice, or the son-in-law with his family, or the two son-in-laws with their families will not come under that same udhiyah. As they are separate breadwinners, they must give out their udhiyah on their own. This is in the case of multiple families living together. Moving on, we also have, like we said, if you cut your nails, there's no harm if you cut your nails. Some people have the doubt that if we cut our nails, then we cannot give out the udhiyah. That is a wrong belief. If you cut your nails, it doesn't matter. You can give out your udhiyah. Your udhiyah will be valid. But then you have gone against the commandment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what about an individual who has married perhaps, but is still not living with his wife? He has done his nikah. This is a question that was posed. He has done his nikah. And he still not consummated the marriage. The girl is still living with the father. Does the groom who has now done the nikah, does he have to give on her behalf? No, as he is not, the opinion of some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, is that as he has not still yet consummated the marriage, he does not have to give udhiyah on behalf of her. Rather, she goes under her own father because she is still dependent on her father as she is living with her father. Now, in regard to appointing someone, or giving an udhiyah on behalf of someone. Say in a family, a husband and a wife. Normally if a husband were to give out an udhiyah, he must not cut his nails and his hair. Remember, that is another thing. The person who wishes to give out the udhiyah, only he must not cut his hair or nails. The family, there is no issue. The wife, the children who come under him, they can cut their hair and their nails. The individual who is giving out the udhiyah, only he must not cut his hair or his nails. Now what about, say, in a family where the husband is giving his general udhiyah, but then the wife wants to give an udhiyah on behalf of her father who has passed away, on behalf of a deceased individual. Then as she is giving out an udhiyah on behalf of her father who has passed away, then she also must not cut her hair or trim her nails. What about appointing a living individual? Say a father who is going to set out on a business journey perhaps, and he feels that the country he is traveling to, be it China or some other country, he feels that he may find it difficult to give out his udhiyah in that country. He appoints his son who is in the country. He gives him the money and tells him, I'll be gone. It is difficult for me to give the udhiyah there. When the day of Eid comes about, you go purchase the animal and you give out the udhiyah on behalf of me. Now the son is not a breadwinner. The son comes under the father, but the father appoints him to do the udhiyah on behalf of himself. Now, does the son have to stay away from cutting his hair and trimming his nails? No. Because the son has been appointed by the father. The father is the owner of the wealth. He is the one who is offering the sacrifice. Even if he be in another country, he is the one who should refrain from cutting his hair and trimming his nails. There is also another doubt that has crossed the minds of the people. Some people state that, okay, I am in Colombo perhaps. I have appointed someone in the outskirts of Colombo to do the Qurban on behalf of me, the Udhiyah on behalf of me. So I feel, that individual, he posed the question, he said, I feel that the butcher The one who is doing the qurban, the udhiyah on behalf of me, he is the one who should not cut his hair or trim his nails. I am not giving the udhiyah. I'm in Columbus, I can cut. No. It's the same as, like I mentioned, just as how the son can cut and the father should refrain. This is the same situation where you appoint someone in the outskirts of Colombo, or perhaps you give your money to an organization that is also permissible, where they collect the money and they give a collective udhiyah. There's no harm, but that does not mean that the organization only must refrain from cutting their hair and trimming their nails. No, you who gave the money, you are the owner of the money, you are the one who has offered a sacrifice, you are the one wishing to offer a sacrifice, so you must refrain from cutting your hair and trimming your nails. I hope everything is upon clarity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to make the best use of the coming 10 days of the Hijjah. And may He accept all of our good deeds. And may He forgive all of our sins. And may He the Almighty help us all to turn to Him, to make sincere tawbah before it's too late, before Ghargara and before the sun rises from the west. And just as how He united us here this beautiful afternoon, may He the Almighty unite all of us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.